The Coast Guard has dispatched a helicopter and a cutter to help a tour boat that went aground along the southeastern coast of Baranof Island. The 79-foot Northern Song is reported stuck in the vicinity of Deep Cove. Chief Petty Officer Janelle Webster of the Coast Guard Sector Coast Guard Command Center says they got the call about 4 o'clock this morning. One crew member and all 8 passengers of the Northern Song donned survival suits and entered a small boat for the ride to the beach. Webster says the captain and another crew member are remaining on board the Northern Song to check for damage and await a possible refloating at high tide. No injuries reported yet. The cutter Nashon are currently about 80 miles away, and an H-60 helicopter from Sitka are now on their way to the scene. Sitka honors the Coast Guard this weekend with a community celebration of Sitka's designation as a Coast Guard city. The special status is granted to only a dozen communities nationwide that show exceptional support to Coast Guard personnel. When the award was presented earlier this year, Coast Guard officials said that Sitka demonstrated support on many levels. One of the most visible ways was in the form of public memorials and tributes after an Air Station Sitka helicopter crashed last summer in Washington State, killing 3 of the 4 crew members on board. Commander Doug Cameron is the commanding officer at Air Station Sitka. He said earlier this year that the community's support of the Coast Guard was apparent before the tragedy, as evidenced by Sitka's popularity as a duty station.
Everybody wants to come here. Everybody likes the unit. Everybody likes the town. They like Alaska. And so it attracts the best and brightest in the Coast Guard. And they love living here. It's just cool. I love living here. Alaska is the only place that when I'm stationed someplace else, I miss. It feels more like home than any place else to me.
Marlene Campbell is Director of Governmental Affairs for the City and Borough of Sitka. She says the Coast Guard personnel honored the city by giving it special status. And this weekend's events are a chance for the city to honor them back.
I doubt there are many people that have lived in Sitka any length of time who aren't personally aware and touched by the Coast Guard's presence here, either directly through having relatives and friends or even themselves actually rescued by the Coast Guard, or at least being really knowledgeable about the very active role the Coast Guard plays in keeping our buoys operational and our navigational aids intact. So in many respects, far exceeding just a matter of being good citizens and active parts of the community, the Coast Guard is really special to Sitka.
Some of the events taking place tomorrow in Sitka include a potluck picnic and some pickup softball games. A preliminary report indicates that rock from an underground blast struck the miner who was killed Wednesday at the Kensington Gold Mine. The Mine Safety and Health Administration and Mine Owners Corps Alaska are investigating the accident and death of 30-year-old Juneau resident Joe Tagaban. According to MSHA, Tagaban was working near a previously drilled hole that had not been plugged. The blast sent a concussion of rock through the hole, striking him. The incident was at the 1,260-foot level underground. MSHA spokeswoman Amy Louvier says that section of mine remains closed while the investigation is underway.
That closure order covers the affected area of the mine where the accident occurred. However, it also prevents the mine operator from conducting any blasting in the mine until we've determined it's safe to do so.
Louvier says investigators from the MSHA Boise office will arrive at Kensington tomorrow to gather evidence from the scene, conduct interviews, and piece together an accident timeline. She says the investigation could take a few weeks or even months. Meanwhile, services are pending for Tagaban, who had been working as a Kensington underground miner for about a year. The accident was the first fatality at the mine. In June, a miner was killed at the Fort Knox gold mine near Fairbanks when he fell 2 stories. He was supposed to be harnessed to a safety line, but was not wearing the harness at the time of that accident. The number of Alaska post offices being studied for possible closure is down to 5, and Douglas is still on the list. The others are Elmendorf, Fort Wainwright, Eielson, and the Anchorage Postal Store. That's according to a U.S. Postal Service internal study provided to Alaska's congressional delegation yesterday and shared with the media. Originally, 36 Alaska post offices were being considered for closure. 25 remote locations were eliminated from consideration almost immediately, and 6 more came off the list in the last month. As we reported yesterday, 3 Postal Service officials from Anchorage got an earful from Douglas Post Office customers Wednesday night, arguing that the station should stay open. Alaska District Manager Diane Harbacek says several factors will determine which offices make the final closure list, including the cost to run each location, access to other post offices, volume, customer demand, and public input. Communities can appeal if their post office makes the closure list. Thousands of post offices nationwide are being studied for possible closure by the financially strapped agency, which is facing a $10 billion shortfall. Alaska's congressional delegation is giving the president's speech last night on creating jobs and boosting the economy mixed reviews along party lines. Before a rarely convened joint session of Congress, President Obama laid out a plan that he's calling the American Jobs Act.
It will create more jobs for construction workers, more jobs for teachers, more jobs for veterans, and more jobs for long-term unemployed. It will provide a tax break for companies who hire new workers, and it will cut payroll taxes in half for every working American and every small business.
It would cut payroll taxes and give companies a payroll tax holiday if they add workers or increase wages. Companies that hire veterans or long-term unemployed would get tax credits, and it calls for improving schools and internet access and includes programs to keep teachers, firefighters, and police officers on the job. $50 billion would go toward improving transportation, and another $10 billion to what Obama calls an infrastructure bank, a public-private partnership. Senator Mark Begich says the president's plan would grow small businesses and put more money in the hands of middle-class America.
Generally, I think what he's saying to us in Congress is, you know, here's a plan, and you know, I agree with some of the items, not all of them, but I think what he's saying is, look, this is not complicated. The American people are telling us what we need to do. There's great ideas from Democrats and Republicans. Let's just get going and get it done.
Begich says he was disappointed the president did not push resource development, which the White House could green light without needing any action by Congress. The plan comes with a price tag of more than $470 billion, and the president is waiting until later this month to reveal how he wants to pay for it. But he did call for closing corporate loopholes and mentioned cutting subsidies for oil and gas companies. Begich says he's willing to look at those subsidies as long as it's part of a comprehensive package that does not single out the oil and gas industry. The president is also targeting the wealthiest Americans for more taxes, which pleased Senator Begich. Some of the items the president talked about last night already have some bipartisan support, and Senator Lisa Murkowski says are already on the table.
Well, I think he was wise in attaching his proposal to proposals that are currently in the Congress that are underway and that we're working on. Highway bill is a perfect example of that, I think. There is bipartisan support for job creation when we're talking about building out our infrastructure.
Overall, Senator Murkowski rates the president's plan poorly and says it sounds too much like the 2009 stimulus bill. Murkowski says the second half of the speech was more to her liking when it focused on Washington's responsibility to come up with solutions. Congressman Don Young was more interested in last night's start of the NFL football season than he was in the president's speech. He caught it on TV because he's still in Alaska, even though the House gaveled in on Wednesday.
I watched it, parts of it, anxiously looking for the football game. And as you know, I just think he's, I hate to say it, I think the presentation was fair, but I think most of all, though, he's a little penny wise and a pound short.
Young wanted to hear more of a focus on transportation projects. President Obama says he'll unveil more of how the plan will be paid for a week from Monday, but he's asking the super committee formed over the summer to come up with even more in savings than originally planned.